Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash Potsy. Coming up, we'll talk about Caleb Williams' first mini camp of his career and about the Bears' big plans for training camp. That and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Potsy, as you and I sit here on an early Thursday afternoon, the Bears are done with mandatory minicamp. All of their veterans are going to go home for an abbreviated summer, and the rookies are going to stick around for a couple of days next week. Caleb Williams, the big talk of camp, obviously, and he talked to us today. We'll start general here, Potsy. How do you think he looked this week?
He looked as good as I thought a rookie quarterback would look in a mini camp situation. In other words, it didn't show me anything that would lead me to believe he's going to be the next C.J. Stroud, and he didn't show me anything that would lead me to believe he's going to be the next Mitch Trubisky or Justin Fields. So really, I have to say, in all honesty, I don't know. I don't think we learned much except what we saw at the very beginning. We just saw some of the things that he does, especially with getting rid of the ball and things like that, that we know will already be an upgrade over Fields, mm-hmm. But how he utilizes that, we still don't know, and I don't think anybody really does.
Yeah, there are things that we saw this week that you can, like you said, categorically say are better than Justin. I think he's got better touch. I think his ability to throw on the run is probably better. I think the different arm angles he uses is something that Justin tried to do but really right. never pulled off as well. But we would have seen that on Caleb's college tape too. None of that is
right.
anything exactly. that we didn't expect to translate over from USC. I do think that when you listen to other players talk about him, though, that there is something to be learned here. And, you know, the defense, which has been chirping at him all week, and with good reason, because the defense was playing pretty well, these players seem to acknowledge the fact that they're happy to get stops in the red zone against Caleb, but they feel pretty excited that Caleb's going to end up on their team when the games start counting.
Yeah, I agree. And it's kind of interesting in that, you know, there's a lot of voices on that defense. and the funny thing is Caleb eventually will be that counter voice. I'm sure of it. But it's kind of, I think I wanted to ask him about it. I didn't get a chance to. It must be awkward for him because he hasn't found that voice. He doesn't want to find that voice yet.
Right.
He doesn't want to overdo it and be something that he's going to be before it's his time. And so it's got to be tough for him to hear those voices and not really chirping back. I think eventually it'll be, and maybe even training camp it might happen. And it makes it really exciting to see just how much he gives it back. And I think the point, though, goes back to something we were talking with I think it was Jaquan Brisker, about this huge cliche that we talk about every time in training camp, iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. And too often, the realization is that iron doesn't sharpen paper. and we've seen that with Trubisky's offense, we've seen that with Justin Fields' offense. And that's not, I don't mean to denigrate them irresponsibly. I think that's just the way it was, that iron was not sharpening iron, right? And I think I get the impression that it's more real. The idea that the defense is making the offense better is more real. I saw evidence of that in little ways, but I saw evidence of that in this mini camp. And so I think that probably is the most interesting thing is there's just not only with Caleb Williams, but with Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze. I think that whole idea, that narrative that was very obvious from the beginning, the better supporting cast for the better quarterback. Right now, if I had to bet, I would say it's more likely to come to fruition, at least in a significant degree, if not, you know, certain, maybe not, you know, a Houston Texans degree, we don't know.
Right.
But at least to some degree, rather than it being the same old thing where the offense is a work in progress all year and we're, you know, wait till week 17 and next year will be better, blah, blah, blah. I just think there's a better chance of it working out for the positive, which is saying a whole lot, frankly, for the Chicago Bears, don't you think?
Yeah, and listening to Jalen Johnson talk the other day about having to cover it was Kyler Gordon, talk about having to cover Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
And about how efficient his steps are, because he is this great route runner. Those things, you know, when you hear that, I actually believe that part of the iron sharpening iron. Writ large, at this time of year, the defense probably should be winning. And it seems like every year that the Bears haven't had an established quarterback, which has been every year since Jay Cutler left. we sit here and we try and read the tea leaves of, well, is it good that they're getting beat in June, or is it bad, or does it not matter? I don't think it's particularly significant this year that the defense, at least in the practices we saw, seemed to have the edge.
No, not really. Although I'll say, and that's probably not right, but you know,
say it.
The fight they had 2 days ago, that tells me that I have no idea what happened, but that just tells me that maybe the offense is giving the defense a little more resistance when it happens that early in a non-padded practice. Mm-hmm. It does; those things do happen, but not usually in that situation. That kind of tells me, you know, I kind of put that in my memory bank or whatever, as, you know, that might be like an indicator that the things to watch for, how much resistance is the offense giving the defense? And that might be, to me, that was a potential sign that, yeah, this offense is giving a little bit more of a challenge for the defense. And that'll be the most interesting thing, or one of the most interesting things to watch in training camp. And I think Matt Eberflus even hinted at this, or talked about this, addressed this, the idea that the battle will be even more real, will be really interesting, offense versus defense this year. And that will be a definite theme. If it doesn't come to fruition, I will be the first to point it out.
Right.
Because I always watch those things, and I think it's a huge cliche that teams lean on, especially last year during that one point where the defense was really chirping, getting the most, and the offense said, oh, we're just getting, you know, they're just going to make us better, and it didn't. But I think it really feel like it's more real, and that makes the anticipation of training camp even more than it usually is, I think.
I think 9 months ago, Justin Fields was telling us that, you know, that the defense chirping at him was there to make him better. And Caleb Williams will say the same thing. The difference, I would argue to you, is that in Justin Fields' third season of the NFL, we shouldn't have been asking the question about whether Justin is good, because we kind of had our answer by that point. Caleb, you know, you actually believe that there might be a benefit there. Potsy, you talk about Caleb looking for his voice. That's quite literal, too. The Bears spent a lot of time this week trying to explain to us the benefit of getting the cadence right. And the Bears want to use cadence as a weapon, just like every other team does. What that means is they want Caleb Williams' first hut to sound like every other hut, even when they're not snapping the ball. They want him to emphasize certain cadences to try and get people to jump off sides. They want his own players to know when to fire off the ball, and that takes some experience, and I think that takes him kind of struggling to find a voice that everybody's comfortable with.
You know, Pat, there's going to be a whole lot of things that I think are going to be, I don't know if I should say revelation for Bears fans if this offense comes to fruition. That kind of chat, that kind of talk is one of them. When have we ever talked about that? Maybe we did with Fields, I don't know. But when has that ever been, using cadence as a weapon?
Right.
You know, certain things about an offense, I always joke about Jay Cutler admonishing fans for not being quiet when the offense is operating. And it's only because he only had to do that because we were so not used to the offense being good that fans weren't conditioned to know that kind of thing. And so there were whenever you have a good offense, there are new things you learn, especially with the Bears. And that's kind of one of them. There's several other things I'm going to be looking for just to see, I think, what people would call a big boy offense, NFL offense. And because I'll be honest, as a non-film watcher, which means I really don't analyze it, every little thing. My first thought was, you know, when the guy's supposed to be the best prospect since Andrew Luck, I don't worry about the cadence. That's something that better be there. That's such a rudimentary thing. That better be there for him. So I'm not sure. I don't think it'll be a big concern, but an interesting topic to talk about. And I guess what I would point out is the indication is when we're talking about that, that's kind of a sign that at least they're thinking big. We're thinking about a real NFL offense here, which, you know, you may think I'm mocking that, but that, you know, we just haven't seen that. You know, we saw the one blip in 2013 with Mark Trestman, and that was very short-lived. Mm-hmm. It was real. They were second in yards and eighth in points, I think, a year.
Yeah, something like that.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
And it was real, but it frittered out against good defenses very early. But overall, we just have seen very little. So that's kind of a new thing. I guess that's what I take out of that. That, wow, it's kind of exciting to talk. Even though it's kind of a little nuanced thing, mm-hmm. It's kind of exciting to talk about things like that because it's an indication you're at least thinking like a real NFL.
And I can see our listeners sitting there going, cadence, really? Is this something to worry about? The answer
is
yes.
That's my point. Yeah.
But part of it is that Caleb Williams in college didn't ever use his voice. Yeah. He would clap to get the ball. A lot of colleges do this now. And another thing they do is go to the line of scrimmage and then stare over at the coaches and let the coaches signal in place for them to get. So what seems like pretty basic football stuff, whether it's cadence, whether it's calling a play in a huddle, whether it's getting in and out of the huddle quickly, is foreign to a lot of players who, you know, in college just never had to do that.
And so what I think that what that will tell us about Caleb Williams is one of the most important things, especially with the expectations of this season, is how well does he learn? He's supposed to learn well and respond quickly and adjust. And he sure didn't seem to think it would be any kind of issue. And so that's, if you're going to make an issue of that thing, that situation, that'd be the thing to look for. How well does he learn? How quickly does he learn? That'll be a big factor because he really, frankly, really needs to learn quickly for this. This offense should not be a work in progress all the way through the season. This should be a pretty quick study if they really want to be good. I think that's a level that that they can be rightly held to.
To me, what'll be interesting is that, as opposed to maybe the Mitch offense and the Justin offense, I think the Bears can win games if Caleb is merely okay.
Yes.
And maybe in that sense, it is like Mitch in 2018. Is that, you know, at some point they will need Caleb to win them games. You know, when the chips are down, and Lord knows, you know, all the stats about Justin showed that that never really happened with him, you know, close and late. But, you know, I think you could see the Bears kind of getting out to a good start even as their quarterback develops, not necessarily because he's developed quickly.
Right. And that, to me, the, I'm interested in that because, on the one hand, you know, the Bears already, I think, improved in that area last year. You know, the first, I can't remember exactly what the stat was, but through the first, like, you know, 22 games of the Eberflus era, they were like 2-6 or 2-8 when they scored 20 or more points. Well, in the last 10 or 12 games, they were 5-1.
Right.
When they scored 20. So they could win. They could. Their defense was good enough. That's how good their defense. Their defense was good enough to allow them to win. They didn't have to be great. They just had to be good. And I think that's the point. And there's two things there. There's one, they don't have to be. Caleb Williams does not have to be that good to be a winner with this defense. But on the other hand, you still want him to be good.
Right.
You know, Mitch, because then you got a Mitch situation where he was literally good enough to make the Pro Bowl as an alternate in 2018, but he wasn't good. And so that can also, I guess what I'm saying is that can be, they can go to the playoffs with Caleb Williams being good and not great, but that can also be a little bit of a misread on where he's heading. And so just something to keep in
mind. For the trajectory of the franchise, he needs to be really good. For the Bears to win games, he might not have to be right away.
Good enough. He's got room to improve. That's the key. Mitch did not, and theoretically he will.
He's going to have plenty of chances to prove himself before the games start to matter. Not only are the Bears playing a whopping 4 preseason games, with one of them at the Hall of Fame, but the Bears announced on Thursday that the Bengals are going to spend a day here at joint practice on, I believe, August 15th at 1 o'clock. Potsy, this is the big trend in the last couple of years. The Bears, as usual, jump in on the trend kind of after everybody else did, but they're in on it. What's the value you see there?
Based on last year, I'll be honest, I guess it's only just seeing somebody different.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you actually improve. I think it's just kind of, it freshens up training camp.
Which, if you're the Bears and you're reporting a week early for camp, having something different to do might be valuable.
I think it's a bigger help for the coaching staff
and
guys like Ryan Poles than to see them against other players than maybe is for people looking just from the naked eye.
And to scout other players.
So, yeah, like, yeah. I think it's good. I thought that was good last year. I don't know how much I personally would get out of it as far as saying, gee, how good are the Bears going to be? I don't think they reveal enough. I don't think either team really reveals enough for you to be able to know that. But it'll be a good change of pace.
It'll be fun to see Joe Burrow on the backfields of Hallis Hall, though, huh?
Yes, it will. Yeah. Joe Burrow is kind of what you want to be as far as a quarterback.
He is, you know, last year when the Bears went to Indianapolis for 2 days of joint practices, they essentially got done with those 2 days and went, cool, we're not going to play a single good player in our upcoming game against the Colts because we viewed this practice is more valuable to Justin Fields
yes.
and company. I'll be curious if that's what happens with Caleb Williams as well, because you yeah. can script it a little better and you can also keep him a little safer than you can yeah. when there are live bullets.
That will be interesting. That will be interesting because not just the general trend, which is to not play starters, but now you've got a rookie quarterback who's really has high expectations. You'd think he would want to he would be playing in preseason games, but at this point I don't even know what their plan is. That gets a good point about what happened last year in Indy. Is who knows, they might feel that practice is enough, and I'd be curious to know how many actual preseason snaps do they really think he needs to be able to be ready. It'll be more than zero, but I don't know if it'll be anything more than token.
No, maybe not. And, you know, not that Kevin Warren makes football decisions, but Kevin Warren's first real job in the NFL was for a St. Louis Rams team who had to discover Kurt Warner because their quarterback blew out his knee playing a preseason yes. game, right? Rodney Harrison tackled Trent Green, was it correct?
Yes.
Yep. Blew up his
yeah.
knee.
That would be the Tyson Bagent role.
Real quick before we go, Potsy, Caleb spent a little bit of time with us today as we are getting to know him in a press conference form, at least. Does anything jump out and grab you to me? He just seems comfortable with himself, and
yeah,
I find that so unusual for somebody his age.
Yeah, I would say just his comfort level is. I'll be honest, and I hate to be more cynical than I even normally.
No,
am,
you don't.
But I want to see him after he loses.
Sure, of course.
I want to see how he responds to a loss. I want to see how he responds to a real tough time. Right now, I mean, he's been very good. He's been very impressive. Mm-hmm. He there's a good vibe about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just, I always say, there's just something about him that I would say doesn't convince me totally that he's the guy, but it convinces me that if everything else goes right, which includes the supporting cast, the offensive coordinator, fate, you know, mm-hmm. injury fate, if things go his way, he will be what they expect. But again, this is the honeymoon, mm-hmm. and so we've been, you know, I can't tell you how many times you know, felt good, and we should. You should feel good when a guy, you know, it looks good and is friendly and stuff like that. But you got to wait till tough times to really know just how it's going to be.
Chicago does not have a good history with quarterbacks, obviously.
Does not.
Is there any value to the idea that Caleb being kind of a different sort of dude, personality-wise, may benefit him? I think you could argue that Jay Cutler's the most effective quarterback they've ever had. And Jay Cutler was very different than Caleb, but very much his own dude.
Might be the opposite. We'll see. But similar
in the fact that they are opposite. I think they're both cut from kind of a different cloth personality-wise. Caleb, obviously, much more outgoing. But I wonder whether that ends up being to his benefit, just that he is he's iconoclastic in a way that maybe Mitch and Justin and all the other hundreds of quarterbacks have not been.
I think I referred to him as kind of the face of the 21st century athlete, and I think that's accurate in that I'm very curious to see, and I think it'll be a theme of a story at some point, for me anyway, is something that I wasn't sure about, but I'm becoming more sure about, is how well he can balance his individuality with him being the leader of a team. In other words, that used to be, I think we've talked about it before, where you kind of had to be all ball to be all in, and I don't think that's true anymore, and I think he's a good example. He looks to me like he is a good example of a guy who can be really into his brand and also be, you know, that guy who can put a team on his shoulders and be the face of a franchise. And so that's, I think it'll be interesting to see that develop. But again, we gotta wait and see. But I do agree that he's a different kind of cat, as Mike Singletary once told me about somebody. I can't remember. But
Mongo. We'll just say it's Mongo. That makes sense.
It was Urlacher, I think.
Okay.
It was Urlacher. But anyway, he's definitely that. Who knows how well it'll turn out, but there's no doubt he's a different makeup of any quarterback or maybe even any player we've seen as far as balancing different roles in his life. And that's kind of the way things are with athletes today, is they can do that. So it's kind of, I think it's a good thing. Certainly at this point, it's a good thing.
Did you see the video of him walking into Old Crow?
Yeah, I think I did. Was that with the Packers thing?
Yeah.
Yeah,
walks into a crowded bar on Saturday night in Wrigleyville during a rain delay or before, I don't know, during the game. And shoulder-to-shoulder crowd starts chanting Green Bay sucks, and he puts both his hands in the air, starts pumping his fists. I asked him about kind of making the rounds, and he, what do you say? I'm a person, essentially. I'm a person. I'm going to be part of this community I live in. I like that reaction. That's good.
Yeah, he's embracing Chicago and embracing being a Bear. I think, you know, that kind of is what happens. But when you think about what we thought maybe before the draft, at the beginning of the draft process, kind of comforting, I think, for Bears fans to know that this guy is even more than they thought. And so I think you're seeing a lot of that too.
And I think Bears fans can smell it on you when you're not genuine. And I think right now they consider him to be a pretty genuine guy.
Which, you know, he's got something. Yeah, he does. There's something about him in that regard too, because you're right. A lot of times it seems kind of like a showy, performative, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how you want to put it. And there's something about him. I refer to it in the story I wrote in today's paper about him. Just the idea of the bear claw gesture, which I normally hate those stories. I hate all the cute off. You know.
Yes, you
Mitch,
do.
Mitch Trubisky's Camry, and
you hate you them know. As much as I like.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah, and but I got to tell you, I love that one. Just the opposite. I love it for its simplicity. Mm-hmm. That it's something. I kind of pointed this out. It's something that anybody could have come up with.
Sure.
It's not generational. Right. Sid Luckman could have come up with the bear claw, you know, and it's so simple. And I guess my point is, he seems to know how to hit the right note.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He's a guy like that who, now sometimes those guys are kind of phony, you know, mm-hmm. but he doesn't seem like he is. We'll know more later.
Right.
But I just was really interested by that whole bear claw thing. Just the way he said, I think I referred to it today, is like something that other people were saying, why didn't I think of that?
Right.
You know, and he, that's a guy who knows how to hit the right note, at least off the field or with, you know, the other little things that go on with that are important about being the quarterback of the Bears. To me, that's a good sign, and I'm a cynic about things like that.
Right.
But I really thought that was a really good indicator of the kind of guy he is, of a guy who's got that. He's got a knack.
Right.
You know, you always talk about the it factor,
right,
which we haven't seen on the field yet, but we might. But that's kind of an it factor type of thing off the field that I think is a good indicator for Caleb Williams.
He's had media training since he was in high school. He's been a celebrity for at least 3 years now. So there is a comfort level with it. But, I think if you and I, our antenna pretty high up here, and if we can feel him, I think we both feel like he's pretty authentic. So that is very much a good place to start, especially in June when they're not playing any meaningful football. Potsy, that'll do it for us here. Feel free to follow Mark, Jason Leisure, and myself on social media. Pick up a newspaper or go to the Sun-Times website. I am fond of the app on my phone as well. We will be back maybe one more time before we take a little bit of a summer break, but you can follow us until then. He's Mark Potash. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.